Father, we thank you for the word of God that is present with us. The word of God cannot be bound. The word of God also prevails in every situation. And we thank you for the entrance of your word, gives us light and gives us understanding. And we declare that it is so today in Jesus' name. We give you all praise and glory. Amen. Amen. So on the subject of times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, that was what we ministered on yesterday, and also today I want to do part two of this, and I'll prepare your shares and your testimonies as well. You will have time to do that today. But there's an aspect that I want to bring today is understanding what to do, when the Lord gives us times of refreshing. So I want to come in that angle. Yesterday we declared the times of refreshing are coming upon everybody. And we had powerful prayer session to bring everybody's names into that blessing. Today I want to give us, share with us this message about understanding what to do in the times of refreshing, how to take full advantage of that so that it doesn't just pass us by and it's not just some kind of cliche. We say, oh, times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, times of refreshing. Well, what do you do? What should you expect and what should you, more importantly, do during the times of refreshing? That's really what we want to talk about today. Praise the Lord. So, the first place we want to start is take a look at what the scripture says that some folks did who understood certain times and seasons. They are called sons of Issachar, which is one of the tribes of, the children of Israel. And here's what the Lord had to say about them in First Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. So this particular group of people from this tribe, I don't know what gave them this unique sense of understanding, but they had it. They must have been sharing it, with one another, because they seemed to, all of them had it. And it called, an understanding. Now, understanding is so key in everything. In fact, scripture says, get wisdom, and with all that getting, get understanding. And when we have understanding, and that's why we, declare that every day that I stand to minister the word of God, I always quote that verse out of Psalm 119 and verse 130. That the entrance of his word brings light and gives understanding. Because the understanding is so key. If we don't have understanding, many things will pass us by. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7 tells us that in the pursuit of wisdom, we must also pursue deep comprehension. That's what understanding is. Understanding is comprehension, to be able to know what the subject matter is all about. And these people called the sons of Issachar, going back to read about them, it says they were men that had understanding of the times. It wasn't just they had understanding of everything, but they had specifically understanding of the times. They knew this, they understood the seasons. But what followed that is what's even more profound. He said, they don't have understanding of the times to know. See? Now, this understanding, you know, must inspire knowledge and actually trigger knowledge. Now, they knew what Israel ought to do. See? They were men of understanding. The reason they were called men of understanding was actually because they knew. And then the reason they knew was because they had understanding. So you see how it works. You know, when people see that they know what to do, then they go, wow, these are people of understanding. But even it was because they had understanding that made them to know what to do. They knew what Israel ought to do. These were heads, you know, the heads of them were 200. There were 200 among them that were, you know, really instructing everybody else. There's about 200 in that tribe, you know, of Issachar that instructed the rest of the tribe. And so they passed the knowledge around, and all their brethren, see, were at their commandment. Now, they had an advantage over the rest of the people because they had this understanding and they knew what to do. Now, listen to that again. Men of understanding of the times that knew what to do or what people ought to do, which also gave them an advantage over others. And so this is so powerful, if you understand it. Now, we were talking about times of refreshing. Well, if you have understanding of times in general, you will get understanding of the times of refreshing. But specifically, if you have understanding of the times of refreshing, what you ought to do in those times and at such a time. Now, I believe that everyone that was in the room yesterday, you know, got inspiration that this, that we are in the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. That's what we spoke about. That's what we also prayed about. That's what we also declared over the room. Powerful session. Now, but in addition to that, today is a follow-up to say, well, when we are in the times of refreshing, what do we do then? You know, so are we just going to say we're in the times of refreshing? What do we do during the times of refreshing? These people knew what they ought to do. Now, they didn't tell us here exactly, you know, what they ended up doing, but they knew, you know, what they ought to do. So I want to make sure that we understand that as well. That if the Lord grants us times of refreshing, which I believe He has, then I pray also the Lord grant us understanding of what we ought to do to take advantage of the times of refreshing. And the understanding that these people had made their brethren to be at their commandment. That means they had an advantage over everybody else because of the understanding that they had, which others didn't have. So that is so, so powerful. Understanding the times that we are in. And if this is the time of refreshing that God is granting us, understanding what to do during such a time. Now, I'm going to share with us a few stories, a couple of stories or so in the Bible. There are more, but I want to give time for people to share and express themselves today. So, the stories, there are a few stories in the Bible of people like these sons of Issachar that understood what to do in times of, you know, at certain times. And in particular, at times of refreshing. And what did they do? Now, the refreshing could be, you know, a time of recovery. In other words, perhaps, you know, when things had been, I mean, when either things had been lost and God restored, there'd be restoration of, quietness. It could be a time where they had peace, that rest from trouble. It could be, you know, a time of blessing, a time of prosperity. I mean, generally speaking, refreshing brings vitality into our lives. You know, so if you look at, you know, what the dictionary says about refreshing, I think I read this yesterday, you know, it could be, you know, a physical restoration. In other words, you know, one dictionary definition gives it as something that is pleasant, something that is different and interesting, that restores vitality to provide a welcome change from the norm. That's one dictionary definition of refreshing. Some examples are, you know, people can see the way we use refreshing can say, oh, you know, a cold shower was very refreshing. Like, for instance, in the, you know, time of summer, in places like here in Arizona, it could be very hot in the summer and you can jump in the pool and be refreshed. You know, and some people can talk about taking a refreshing drink, a glass of juice or lemonade or whatever. You know, even young children, they make lemonade stands on the streets in the summer here and try to ask the people passing by to buy something for refreshing. You know, something that brings a change, you know, where there might have been some strain or stress, you know, something, you know, the stress, the strain could be stress from exhaustion. Rest can bring refreshing. You know, it could be stress from anxiety. You know, quietness, assurance can bring a refreshing. And something that is invigorating and stimulating and so forth. You know, these are, you know, could be refreshing like that. You know, so sometimes we even use that for, you know, new ideas. We say, oh, he had a refreshing idea. It was just, you know, something new, you know, something original, something that carries, you know, some originality. You know, so I say, wow, yeah, that was a refreshing idea. I mean, people use that, you know, for different things. You know, sometimes people say, yeah, I mean, they took a nap. It was a refreshing, you know, nap. It took a break. It was refreshing and so on and so forth. You know, so refreshing, a time of refreshing is something that improves the conditions, you know, or our experience through conditions. So when we talk about times of refreshing from the Lord, well, that means, or the way that we are looking at it is we've been experiencing something or some things or a time of drought for a while. And then all of a sudden, refreshing rain comes. You know, it could be a time of famine, a time that, you know, there was scarcity and so on and so forth. And all of a sudden, supply came. That will bring refreshing. It could be a time of trouble on every side, wars, you know, like some of these kings of Israel, I'm going to tell you a couple of stories here in a bit, had wars all around them all the time. And then at some point in time, the Lord gave them rest, you know, from all these troubles and these wars and stuff like that. And that could be called a time of refreshing. And so when we experience, yesterday we also talked about even taking a break from our, you know, stressful routines, maybe during the day. Jesus said the same thing, Mark 6:31 to his disciples. He said, because they were going, coming, doing, you know, responding to the people and ministering and so on and so forth. I mean, there was not even enough time for them to eat. And Jesus recognized that. And he said, look, come ye yourselves apart, Mark 6:31, into a desert place for a while and get away from all of it all. That's where the concept of retreat came from. When people say, oh, we're going to have a retreat, a conference with a retreat, and they get away from it and find a place, a hotel or some kind of lodging to get away from everything and just have a time, 2-3 days, whatever. People call it retreat. Even in Christian circles, they use, you know, that phrase. That's where it came from. You know, just get away from everything and, you know, just refresh yourself. You can actually replenish. The body can replenish itself. And God designed that even every day when we take rest in sleep at night or whatever, you know, the body has the capability built in within itself to restore certain things. Now, so when that experience is lacking, the experience of quieting down and taking rest in sleep, when it is lacking, some people can't sleep. They have insomnia or they have some other things, or, you know, maybe they have anxiety or whatever. And, you know, they just can't sleep, you know. And some people have serious anxiety disorders and they can't sleep. They can't rest. Panic attacks and different things. Well, you know, those even open up the door for other things, ailments, sicknesses, and so forth. Because the body does not have the time to recoup. Because it's not given that opportunity because of, you know, lack of rest. You know, I even spoke about some laws of physics, either like Isaac Newton's first few laws of physics, the law of inertia, a body at rest, you know, tends to continue to be at rest, you know, a body in motion. And so be emotional also, you know, spoke about that a couple of days or so ago. When we have rest, you know, it has the ability to gender even more rest. Body at rest will tend to continue to be at rest. Even physics tells you that. And then that rest could be a form of refreshing. Now, especially when it comes from the Lord. Before I tell you these stories, to see what these people did when they had rest and they understood what to do. Well, let's look at some things that the Lord said we can experience when we have such rest. Here's the way he put it. He said, the walk of righteousness, this is Isaiah 32 and verses 17 and 18. You know. Oh, I just read from 17 through the end. You know, the work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. You know, so the reward of living a life of integrity or righteousness before the Lord will be peace. Yeah? Peace can be the absence of war or the absence of conflict or the absence of trouble. It can also be, well, confidence and assurance, even in the midst of trouble. We've talked about that. He said, my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. You know, in other words, they will experience a time of tranquility and in sure dwellings and quiet resting places. You know, these are the things that bring a time of refreshing. You know, sometimes, you know, some people relax, just get away from it all, listen to some soothing music, you know, quiet, you know, sometimes loud music, loudness and so forth. You know, it just, your spirit is agitated because of all the noise. You know? And so if you get away from that, you listen to some soothing, you know, like classical music or something, you know, it can just bring that agitation down, you know. Level of stress can come down, and then you find out that, well, you know, your soul, your spirit is even refreshed, dwelling in quiet resting places. Whether there is storm around you, the Lord can even give you rest in the middle of it, a quietness, a peace, take away anxiety, you know, from it, you know, from all of that that's happening around. But if the Lord gives you a prolonged season of refreshing, what should you do when you have an opportunity to experience refreshing? The things that have made it difficult for you to do certain things before. Maybe there was scarcity. Maybe there was famine. Maybe there was war, physical war, actually. You know, people that are in war-torn areas right now, they can't really, there's some things they can't do because every day they are fearing for their lives. The next thing they're going to hear is some bombshell or something. They're running around, you know, and so forth. We pray for such. But, you know, when there is, you know, if you've been in the middle of that and all of a sudden there's, you know, everything is quiesced, you know, everything is quiet. You know, everything is being restored. You know, they're building again. You know, things are coming back. You know, prosperity is coming again. Supply, things that they haven't had for a while, it's now available and so forth. What do you do in times such as this? Now, let's read a couple of stories. Now, remember the lesson about the children of Issachar. They had understanding of the times, and they knew what Israel ought to do. So keep that in mind as we go through these couple of stories. Understanding that now God has called forth times of refreshing. Well, how do we take advantage of that? What do we do? Well, let's listen to some of these stories. You know, now we know that David was a man of war. And in fact, one time when he began to think that, well, okay, I've got some quiet right now and so forth. Well, the Lord reminded him that he was a man of war. He had been a bloody man all the time, you know. So, you know, his life was characterized with it was a life of trouble, you know. Always in one trouble or another. See, that running for his life, you know, from the time that he was anointed to be king, running for his life, problems in his own house, and even when he became king, all kinds of problems, you know. And it was like that. But there was something in his heart, though, even in the midst of all of that. You know, once he began to get some rest, you know, you could call David like a warrior king. In those days, kings went out to war. It's in the time when kings went to battle. Kings always went out to war to lead their, it's not that they would just send people. Most of the time they would lead. They would be the one that led the charge against their enemies, you know. And David himself, you know, experienced war as a young man. And later on in life, war all around him. And so always fighting one thing or the other. So there was a time he began to experience finally, you know, some peace and some rest. And he began to think about it that, well, God has given me rest. So what should I do? You know, so when God gave him rest, he thought of something. I'm going to read some two or three stories like that to you. What they wanted to do. David didn't quite do the things he wanted to do, but he did a lot of it. And he even made, you know, some preparations, you know. So when the Lord gave him rest, you know, on all sides, he thought within himself to build a house unto the Lord. And that's what he wanted to do. But the Lord said, no. You're not the one going to do it, you know, but your son Solomon would do it. But it was in David's heart to do it. And because he wanted to do it, he prepared tremendously for his son Solomon to do it. All the stuff that Solomon had, David used for building the temple, the great temple, and so forth. David was actually the one that provided most of it. David made preparation in abundance, made provision in abundance, you know, for the temple. You can read that there's a story in First Chronicles, you know, chapter 22, how, you know, David was wanting to do these things before the Lord, prepare to build a house. Couldn't do it, but that didn't stop him in making preparation. And he said, look, these things are for the house of the Lord. This is for the altar of the blessing, you know. And David, in First Chronicles 22, David commanded to gather the people, the strangers of the land, and so on and so forth. And David prepared iron in abundance, and, you know, for this and that, abundance, brass in abundance without weight. Also, cedar trees in abundance, you know, that he got. And David said to Solomon, concerning Solomon, said, look, Solomon, my son, is still young and tender, and the house that is to be built, God already told him that Solomon was going to do it, must be exceeding magnificent. This was in the heart of, this great temple that Solomon built, that everybody is raving about, was actually David that made a lot of provision for it. You know, he said, look, it must be magnificent. It must be of fame and glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Now, it was David. I put all those things together, you know, and the reason David was doing that, you know, was because in his heart, he said, look, you know, God had given me rest, so I want to build, you know, a house unto the Lord. And he thought of it, he desired it, you know. He told the prophet that was with him, you know, that he was going to do it. And yeah, the man encouraged him, said, look, well, go ahead, do it. You know, but then the word of the Lord came later and said, well, you're not going to be the one to do it, you know, but your son will do it. And the reason I don't want you to do it, you have shed too much blood, you know. Some of it he shed in war. Some of it he shed in error. He also shed the blood of, you know, Uriah and Bathsheba's husband and all of that, you know. So, and God said, no, you are not going, there's too much blood in your hands, you know, so you're not going to do it. But it was in his heart to do it. And he thought that as long as he had rest, he would actually do something. He wanted to build a house, you know, for the Lord. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, this thing was in his mind. He began to say and think of it. Now, these are some things that you do when God has given you rest on all sides. That's the lesson for today. So as we go through these stories, you know, think of it. Let's read David, 2 Samuel chapter 7. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all of his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. So the prophet discerned that, you know, his man is indicting a good matter in his heart, something. So the king said, prophet said to the man, well, go do all that is in thy heart. The Lord is with thee. So David was already thinking about it. And why? Because he had a time of rest. See, when he was running around helter-skelter for his life, he couldn't think of that. But now that he had rest, he began to think good things. And these are some of the things we do when we have rest. That's the time for you to actually do more for the Lord and not less. You know, when the Lord has given us rest from all our troubles, is that the time that all we will do is gallivanting all over the world, travel all over the world, see places, do things, go shopping, do everything, and do nothing for the Lord? This is what some people do. When they have good times, and there's nothing wrong in you enjoying the good of all his labor. The Bible says it's a gift of God for you to enjoy the good of all your labor. It's a gift of God. But don't leave God out of it. You know, these people who had this godly presence in their heart, when God gave them rest, they thought to do some good for the Lord. When this man thought to do good, the Lord came back and told him, though, you will not build a house for me. But later on, he told him, you know, who's going to do it. And even though he wasn't going to do it, he made tremendous preparations, because God had established his kingdom. God had even promised him to establish his kingdom for a great time afterward. So he decided in his heart, well, if the Lord showed me all this favor and all this kindness, I must do something for the Lord. You know, that was what was in David's heart to do that. And he said, look, this thing, you know, that you have revealed to me, that my son will do it, and that you have blessed my house, and the goodness that you have established unto thy servant, well, now, let it please you to do it as you have said. And these people knew how to engage God's promises. When God told them something, then they come back and ask the Lord to do that something. You have said that you establish the house of your servant for a great time afterward. Now, Lord, establish it, even as you said it. You know, and that's, you know, but they knew to do something for the Lord in the time of quietness and rest, in the times of refreshing, you know. So next up in this story is Solomon, who's actually a recipient of all these things we just read that David put together in abundance for Solomon. Now, Solomon is the one that's going to actually build the temple, but David is the one that made abundant provision for it. Even before, because, you know, while Solomon was still young, David was laying things up that this man would use. David wanted to do it himself. But he said, well, if I'm not going to do it, I'm going to make preparations for it to be done. That was when he had rest. When God had given him rest all around, he wanted to do more for the Lord. Same thing with Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 5, we read this statement about Solomon. He said, you know, let me just read it from verse 1, but verse 4 is where I'm going. You know, Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that the Lord had anointed him king in the room of his father. So, you know, this Hiram wanted to extend the right hand of fellowship. He was a friend of David, and he wanted to extend the same friendship to Solomon. So he sent some, you know, messages across and so forth. Congratulations and all of these, right hand of fellowship. You know, your father and I were, you know, in league together. I want that to continue. So Solomon said unto him, well, thou knowest how that David, my father, wanted to, but he couldn't do it, build a house to the name of the Lord, you know, but, you know, he couldn't do it for the wars which were about him on every side. He couldn't do it. As soon as he had a little bit of rest, he wanted to do it, but God said, you're not going to do it. You know, but the Lord, he said, until the Lord had put under the soles of his feet, all his enemies of all around. Now, when the Lord gave him rest, then David wanted to do it. And he would have done it had not the Lord said, no, you will not be the one doing it. Now, so he said, now, but look at me. I have risen up in the room of my father to be king over the Lord's people. This same Solomon, he didn't make any braggadocious statements about that. He said, look, Lord, who am I? I don't know how to lead this, your people. They are so great. I'm but a child. The Lord asked him, ask me anything. He said, look, all I need is wisdom. The Lord gave him not just wisdom, but riches because of how his heart sought to know how to do the right thing for God's people. And he said, look, now God has given me rest on every side. 1 Kings chapter 5. This is a famous statement of King Solomon. God has given me rest on every side so that there is neither adversary nor any more evil occurrence. God has now given me rest. Now, during the time that God gave you rest, what do you do? Well, he said, therefore, I have proposed to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. Well, he wasn't. David was the one that did that. But he remembered, you know, the pledge that David made and what the instructions that God gave David, that your son would do it, and the pledge and all the things that David prepared. And during this time that he looked around to and said, look, you know, there's no evil happening. Everything is good. All is quiet. All our enemies are, you know, at league with us. I mean, there is no evil occurring. There is no stress. There is no war. There is nothing happening. No adversary. No enemy. Nothing. And what am I going to do then? You can start to eat and drink and do some crazy stuff. But he said in his heart, no, I am going to build a house unto the Lord. The house which my father proposed to do, for the which he laid up the treasury, all these things. I'm going to do it. And he said, look, I have set my heart to build an house unto the name of the Lord, my God. Not just my father's God now, my God. So now he's stepping into it. That's right. Lord, my God. Even as the Lord spoke to David, my father, saying, thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne, even in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name. Now, therefore, you know, he began to look for things and different things and timber and wood and so on. David already made all the precious stones and precious things available, you know. And it came to pass that when this Hiram heard the words of Solomon, he gladdened his heart to know that God had given Solomon David a wise son. He said, blessed be the Lord this day, which has given unto David a wise son over these great people. And the man said, look, all the things that you said you do, I just sent him a bunch of stuff to help him prepare, you know, to build, and gave him all kinds of cedar trees, fir trees, and all these things, you know, and in exchange, Solomon gave him various monies and different food supplies and so forth. He gave him the things that he needed to build. Solomon gave him some things in exchange, you know, and the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he promised him, and there was peace, you know, between Hiram, king of Tyre, and Solomon. They made a league together, you know, and Solomon began to, you know, do some things. He even asked people to bring offerings, and he said, this work is great. Do this and so forth. Commanded, they brought great tones. This, that. The bottom of the story, or the bottom line of the story is, at the time when Solomon would declare with his own mouth that there is no more any adversary or evil occurrence, the next thing out of his mouth was, I am now going to build something for the Lord. See, that's a powerful posture. When God cuts off all your trouble and gives you a time of refreshing, it's a powerful posture that the next thing you think about is to do something for the Lord. Now, you know, so as the Lord begins to bring you times of refreshing, what are you going to do Do you have understanding like the children of Issachar to know what you ought to do concerning the times of refreshing? Yeah, they knew it. Yeah, you know, and David knew it too. Solomon knew it too. And there's another powerful story of someone yet that also knew it. His name was Asa in Second Chronicles, you know, chapter 14. Let's read some things about Asa. Abijah was his father. I mean, these were all the generations down the line. You know, they were great grandsons of David and so on. You know, so Abijah was his father, slept, you know, king before him, he slept, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, listen to this. In the days of Asa, the land was quiet 10 years. I mean, they, just like Solomon, there was no evil occurring. There was no adversary. There was no war. There was no trouble. It was a time of refreshing. 10 years they had that time of refreshing. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Well, took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of his fathers and to do the law of the commandment and so on. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images and the different things that people were bowing down to. Cut them off. You know, and that kingdom, the kingdom was quiet before him. Now, in those quiet times, he did something. What did he do? Well, he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. So you can't build in troublous times. Very, very difficult. You go ask, you know, Nehemiah and Ezra when they were trying to build in the difficult times and troublous times. But these people had rest. And he said, well, they begin to build and expand. And this is another thing I want to talk about today. Expand during the time that they had rest. For they had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. And because of that, here's what he said that they are going to do in the years of rest. Listen to what he said. He said, therefore, he said to Judah, now he was king over Judah, now we had some lineage of good kings over Judah. Remember, the kingdom split, you know, after Solomon, you know, and Judah and Israel, 10 tribes to Israel, couple to Judah. And so most of the time, the kings over Judah were, you know, they did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, for the most part. But the kings over Israel, oh no, for the most part, they were wicked. But this man, you know, he was one of the good ones, at least for the great portion of his life. You know, and then he said, look, the Lord has given us rest. So here's what we're going to do. Let us build these cities and make them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him and he has given us rest on every side. Therefore, it is time for us to take advantage of that time, of this time of refreshing that we are in. Because who knows when there will be uprisings again. Right now, when the land is quiet all around us, because we have sought the Lord and the Lord has rewarded us by giving us rest from adversary and evil occurrence and so on. Well, now therefore, let us arise and build. Take advantage. Fortify our cities. Do this. Expand. Do this. Do this. Do this. While there is rest. See, now these are some people who had understanding of how to take advantage of the times of refreshing. One said, I will build the house of the Lord. Well, one said, I'm going to expand, you know, fortify my son, enlarge my coast and do all these things. Well, they're all taking advantage of times of refreshing. So they built and they prospered. Glory to God. But let's look at the circumstances around this building and this expansion. It could be the house of the Lord they built. David himself said it's going to be magnificent. It will be of fame around the world. David's heart. Most people didn't know that I was in Moses, David's heart to start with. And David was the one. He had that vision even before Solomon had it, and he coached him how to do it, how to build something incredible for the Lord his God. And by the time Solomon came into position, he stepped into the role. He actually grew into the role. At first, it was like, well, I'm a child. I don't know what to do, and so forth. Well, the Lord began to give him wisdom. And then he began to grow into it. And he used to talk about the Lord God of my father, David. Well, now he said, the Lord God, my God. You know. So he began to grow into a relationship with the Lord himself. You know. And then he said, well, this thing he remembered. And said, well, now we have rest. He had understanding. God gave him wisdom. He had to understand that during the time of peace like this, which my father didn't have, and he couldn't do it. And, you know, after all his life, when he finally had it and wanted to do it, the Lord said, you're not going to do it. You are always a bloody man. I said, okay. But he made provision for me to do it. So now I remember the words of the Lord, my God, to my father, David, and I'm going to do what the Lord, my God, said. So now he's getting into it and he's going to build, do something marvelous for the Lord. Asa, the same thing. He said, well, let's strengthen, you know, our cities. Let's expand. Let's build. Let's do this while the land is quiet before us. So today's lesson and exhortation is for you to pray for understanding of what to do during the times of refreshing. That's the time you need to take advantage and do some things. You know, if you don't, because these things, you know, the seasons, you know, may go up and down. Rainy season goes, comes, then dry season. Seasons in some countries of the world, they have, in some states of the United States, some states have 3 seasons, 4 seasons, and so forth. Not every state. In Arizona, we don't have 4 seasons. We have very hot and not so hot. Those are the 2 seasons. You know, but, you know, some places, they have all these seasons. You know, they'd have spring. They'd have, you know, they got summer. They'd have the fall. They'll have the winter. And so on. You know, there's seasons. Well, there's also times of refreshing. Anything that says time is limited. You know, if it's timeless, then it has no limit. But if it says time, well, there's a time for everything. There's a season for every purpose. You know, so there is a time. Once it says time, then there's a start and an end. Now, one day, there will be time no longer. In other words, once the Lord eliminates the darkness, which is actually the thing that demarcates, you know, the day. Once there is darkness, then after the darkness goes away, then the day breaks, then you call it one day. Well, when it says at some day, at even time, it will be light. And in that day, the light of the day will be one. There'll be no difference between night and day. At that time, you will not be able to count days anymore. We can count days now because at the end of the day, you see the night. This is us. You know, Gregorian calendar is done like that. And the Jewish calendar, in the real way they did it, they counted the evening first. The evening and the morning were the first day. Yeah? They counted like that. But still, there's something. Yeah, there's the night, and then there's the day. And then you count it as one. Then again, the night and the day. You count it as two, and so on. When the Lord removes that night and it's all day, then you cannot count days. You know, then it's forever. Because there is no way to count it anymore. You just from night to evening and night and evening. So even the gates will not be shut at night. Normally shut the gates at night. They will shut, the gates will no longer be shut at night because there is no night. So it's day all the time, and you cannot count days anymore. You know, there's no time. There's coming a time when the Lord will do that. It's not yet. Today we have time. And times of refreshing may not last forever. It's our prayer that it will last for a long time. But the reality of it is, it will not last forever. So you got to take advantage of it while you have it. Now, during the time of the season of refreshing, it may not last forever, but there may be a time of drought. And then again, God will bring a refreshing again. That's how, these are the cycles, you know. That's why the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7 and 14, God put these things side by side. The times of refreshing, he allows, and the times of adversity, and put them side by side. He said, well, in the time of refreshing, you should rejoice. You should bless the Lord. But I also say you should build and expand. In the time of prosperity, in the time of rejoicing. Don't be like the foolish son who had a windfall of blessings. And he went and squandered everything. We call him the story of the prodigal son. But I call him the story of a foolish son that had no economic prudence. He came into a lot of wealth. And then the next thing that he knew to do was go and squander everything. Riotous living, harlots and different things. come on. He should have invested. He should have built. He should have used those fortunes that he got to do something, that will be there for him to cash in on later on. But he didn't. He was living for the moment and just squandered everything. And of course, sure, as soon as all of that was finished, then he began to be in want. But that's what happens to foolish people who don't know how to use the blessing that the Lord gives them or take advantage of the times of refreshing. And then when those times come and they began to be in want and they began to lament, and the Lord said, well, hey, I already blessed you. What did you do with it? The Lord already blessed this man with so much. He could have done such a great thing with it if he had been prudent. But no, he wanted to spread his wings, sow his oats and all these things and just do anything he wanted. Crazy stuff. And well, he did it for a while, and then his wall came crashing down. See, because that's what happens. And young people should better learn from this, because no matter what you inherit at first, if you don't do something with it, it's all going to fade eventually. It's like putting money somewhere, and no matter how much it is, you keep spending it and nothing else is coming in to replenish it. Someday it'll be depleted and be gone. So what do you do when you have rest? When the difficulties have been removed, when the barriers have been broken, when the gates have been opened, what do you do? Well, you go in. He said, when the gates are open, the righteous nation must go in. Don't stand there looking at the beautiful gate. No, the gate is now open. Go in and do something. Praise the Lord. So, the Lord will give you understanding. And it's what we're going to pray about today. Understanding of what to do during the times of refreshing. The inspiration of the Almighty is so powerful during such a time. The Lord said in Deuteronomy 8 and 18, he said, look, it is the Lord thy God that will give you power, to get wealth. Knowledge is power. How do you get it? The Lord will give you the knowledge. That's Deuteronomy 8 and 18. Isaiah 48 and 17 says almost the same thing. He said, the Lord thy God is he that will teach you how to profit in the times of refreshing. He will teach you. Psalm 32 and verse 8 says almost the same thing. You know, said the Lord said, I will instruct you. See, that's part of the understanding that we gain from him. I will instruct you in what you need to do in those times of refreshing. And I will guide you with my eye. But verse 9 says, don't be though like the horse or the mule. These people, these things, you cannot just tell them, you know, give them simple instruction on where to go. They won't follow it. Stubborn. You got to chuck them around. You got to put bits of bridle in their mouth and chuck them around before they can do anything. He said, don't be like that. Don't be like the horse or the mule. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Yield your heart to no understanding. Job 32 verse 8 says, look, this understanding that we're talking about is not just the kind that you get from age alone. There's some good stuff that you learn from age, you know. But the understanding, inspiration of the Almighty can come to anybody. Whether you are gray-haired, you know, whether you are old and hairy, hoary head, or whether you are young, inspiration of the Almighty can give you understanding. And when that understanding comes, it's like a light bulb that goes on like that. You know, sometimes difficult situations that you can't figure out, all of a sudden, even while you are sleeping, the Bible says, even while men sleep, you know, during deep sleep, you know, while you are even sleeping, the Lord will seal instruction in your heart. You know, you wake up in the morning, you find that there is some wisdom or some knowledge and some stuff that you didn't even know. Say, how did I, you know, yeah, it's like a light bulb. Just some great idea comes into your mind. Well, it comes from the Lord because he put it there even while you were sleeping. Job chapter 33, verse 15 and 16. In a dream, in a vision of the night, even while deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, even while you're sleeping, sometimes the Lord opens the ears of men and seals instruction in their heart. Even while they're sleeping, you wake up the next day, have this bright idea. It came from the Lord. But we need to pray like Solomon prayed and say, Lord, I don't have the wisdom. Give me wisdom. James chapter 1 tells us the same thing. If any man lacks wisdom, and I say understanding also, well, let him pray. You know, if you lack wisdom, pray and God will give you the wisdom. But when you do it with faith. Because if you don't do it with faith, you will get nothing. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, well, or if anybody lack understanding of what to do during times of refreshing, let him ask God that he'll give to all men liberally and will, you know, not hold back, you know, and everything. And he'll be giving you, but you must ask in faith. The woman that came to Elisha and said, well, they are about to take away my sons to go and make them slaves to pay for our mortgage and all these things that we owe, which my husband used to take care of, but now he's dead and gone. And the prophet gave her some instruction. What do you have? Was the first thing he asked. He said, well, I really have nothing in the house to think again. And I said, well, okay, I do think, you know, I have just a pot of oil, you know, left. This is King, 2 Kings chapter 4. And, well, not 2 Kings chapter 4, but, you know, the story, you know, of the, 2 Kings chapter 4. He says, you know, my husband is dead, and you know that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. It is 2 Kings chapter 4. And Elisha said unto her, well, what shall I do for you? What is it that you have in the house? And she said, well, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house except a pot of oil. So the Elisha told her what to do, and she did it. Then she came back. See, now she had moved from a place where she had nothing, she thought. The Lord had now given her a lot, but she didn't know what to do with it. So she came back to get understanding. Now, understanding is so key, you know. And the man said, well, here's what you got to do. You know, go start a small business and start to sell these things. Actually, she sold those things back to the same people she borrowed the pots from. You know, and so that's how you get an advantage. You have understanding. The Lord tells you what to do. So this is so important. I want us all, we're going to pray about it in just a bit. So this is the lesson today. You know, I'm going to summarize it here so that we will pray. And I want to open it up so that we can, people have time to share. Number one. Those who had understanding of the times, that understanding gave them knowledge of what to do. Those are called the men, the sons of Issachar. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. That understanding, that knowledge of knowing what to do during the times of refreshing, for instance, gave them an advantage over their brethren. Now, we have also talked about David, who had understanding of what to do after that the Lord had given him rest. He wanted to do something good for the Lord. We've seen the story of Solomon, the same thing. After he had, you see that there was no adversary, no evil occurrence, nothing happening, you know, to trouble them and so forth. That was the time he said, now we can build for the Lord. Same thing with Asa. When that God had cut off trouble on every side, he said, well, let's fortify, let's build, let's expand. Glory to God. So the lessons and encouragements, such as what we have in Isaiah chapter 54, that says, enlarge the place of your tent and stretch for the curtains of your habitation. Well, that may not be possible in times of trouble. But during the times of refreshing, maybe that's the time you do that. Say, spare not, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. You know, that may be the time for you to go into certain kinds of investments. Don't do what the other people are doing just because they are doing it. Well, you may crash and burn. But you have to seek wisdom from the Lord of what to do. What God plans for you and his plans for you are like your fingerprints. They are unique. There's no two persons. It's an amazing thing about God, the mind of the Holy Spirit that can put that together. There are no two persons that have the same fingerprints, not even twins. Praise the Lord. You know, so it's different. A plan, you know, coded, what God has for you, coded in those fingerprints. Nobody can figure it out. That's why palm readers are trying to look at palms to try to figure it out. They can't. Because a man that is born of the Spirit of God, according to John chapter 3 verse 8, is like the wind, Jesus said. The wind is passing. Nobody knows where they are going or coming. They can't discern, you know, or divine your future. They don't know it, but you should never submit yourself to those stargazers, crystal ball readers, palm readers, and all these things. Once you submit, they cast a spell over you. The child of God should never, they can't figure it out anyway, and you should never submit to them. But your plan, the plans that God has for you, they are unique, uniquely coded in your fingerprints, and different from every, maybe it looks similar. Fingerprints may look similar, but they are different. It may look similar. Your journey may look similar to somebody else, but it's different. You must ask the Lord, not follow what somebody is saying. We can give you general advice. I'm giving you general instruction here, not telling you what to do, but telling you that you know, you need to know what to do. I'm not the one telling you what to do. I'm just telling you, you need to seek the Lord for understanding of what to do. This is so key. I'm going to pray. Father, I pray for everyone that's listening in today. Now that we know that we have entered into the times of refreshing, we also pray for knowledge and understanding of what to do. You know, when the Lord gives us rest, all about when opportunities open up, how do we open our eyes to see those things? You know, that where the opportunities are, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that we need to have in order to know what we ought to do during the times of refreshing. I pray, Lord, give us this kind of understanding, like the men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what they ought to do. I pray, Lord, that you give us understanding during the times of refreshing, that we may know what to do. As we each of us seek the Lord, remember, he's the one that will give you the strategy. Your strategy is different than someone else's. Give you inspiration. It is the Lord that God that will give you power and the understanding, the knowledge to get wealth. He will give it to you. He will instruct you how to profit in times of refreshing. That will give you an advantage over your brethren. They will be at your commandment because now you have understanding. And may we also receive the grace to know how to do more for the Lord when the Lord cuts off all the things that have been troubling us. David wanted to do more, and these people did more for the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory for these words of wisdom today. Now, today's lesson has been like a word of wisdom for you, because you need that to inspire your hearts to seek the Lord for understanding of what to do when he brings the times of refreshing, such as this time that the Lord promised. The Lord's name be blessed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, our God is one Lord and his name is one. And blessed be the name of the Lord. I give the Lord the praise. I give the Lord the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.